We started an organization called Black Guns Matter to target the areas that had the most the racist practice of gun control, to inform those communities about their human right to self-defense as codified in the Second Amendment of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And just started doing these classes all around the country for the last few years. The classes are free to all. It's completely based on voluntary donations. We just had someone, whoever this anonymous donor is, just donated $1,000 not long ago. So we just recognize that individuals can work together for the collective voluntarily without the government taxing them to get a collective overall good. Since we started doing this work, licenses to carry and firearms ownership has increased across America in the communities that we've targeted, as well as during the last year. We haven't been on the road, but we have been in Philadelphia, and licenses to carry in Philadelphia are up almost 700%. Defensive gun usages are also up, and just making sure that people are have the means or exercising their Second Amendment if they need to defend themselves. That spills over into our Solutionary Center, where we do these classes in Philadelphia, but we also do classes on sewing, classes on how to start your own business, the paperwork portion of it, how to certify folks in phlebotomy, Spanish, Tai Chi, yoga, eating healthy, all of the things that makes a community actually whole. Because if we teach somebody how to defend their life, but their life, they feel like their life does not have value, we're still doing a bit of a disservice. So we created the Solutionary Center. We're going to show value there and a holistic approach to these communities. Then we're going to scale that and make them, you know, franchise them out all around the country. So that's the Solutionary Center. That's our work at Black Guns Matter. And, you know, it's two hands getting together to wash. One hand washes the other, and then both hands wash the face.
Oh, that all sounds honestly quite wholesome right there. I like the holistic approach that you're taking for it. So right at the beginning of there, you mentioned that you said that gun control is racist. Just to clear that up for anyone who might be confused, why is it that you describe gun control as racist?
Gun control was started in America during, a time when there was still captivity. And even though the basis of America was founded upon the rights and human rights of all men, there were restrictions on melanated beings, so-called Black folks, but that also included at that time indigenous people. There was rules in direct opposite of what the Second Amendment was completely about, designed to stop Black Americans and, you know, indigenous people or people of color from exercising their human right. One of the best examples of that, and this is the Supreme Court actually ruled that this was the case at that time, and it was overruled later, was the Dred Scott case and decision, where there was literally Supreme Court says, you know, a Black man has no rights that a white man is bound to respect. That is a Supreme Court decision that was later overturned. So clearly the Supreme Court gets things wrong at times. But gun control is an offshoot of that mentality. It's a, we do not think that this group of people should have the means to defend themselves like we do. That is the origin of gun control. That is not the origin of the Second Amendment. That is the origin of the thing in opposition to gun control. Now, when you fast forward, people will say, well, everyone now is subject to the same rules. I don't care. The origin of this thing, when you want to learn about something, you go to the origin of it. The origin of this was to stop a person from doing a thing. Then over time, it's they adapted. And it's not politically correct anymore. So now we'll approach it from a different angle. Some of that being licensing fees to literally purchase someone out of buying into the means to defend themselves. A license in and of itself is a restriction and an infringement. Licenses are government selling you your rights back to you. That's what they are. You have a human right to defend your life as stated in the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights. So they adjust these things a bit. So I'll give you a perfect example. We did something on a brief in the Supreme Court decision, maybe a month or so ago, overturning New York State's you cannot carry a firearm on your person moving about. That has been overturned by the Supreme Court. We had a brief in that. But then the city of New York then decides, we in order to purchase a firearm, you have to give us 3 years of your social media background. Now, obviously, that's going to get thrown out. They're going to get sued. It's going to get thrown out. But the fact that liberals are still attempting to do a thing to restrict a human right to defense. That's the framework of this place. And the Supreme Court has already set the precedent. It speaks to New York City, which is predominantly Black and Brown people. It speaks to it. So the outcome is still the same, even if they call it something else. So if you know, to give an even more crude example, if I was a weirdo and decided to, I'm only going to rape Spanish women. I just think Spanish women are, insert whatever vile thing that I may think, and I'm going to rape Spanish women. And then I somehow see the light and I go, well, maybe Spanish women aren't this. And maybe it's not just Spanish women. Maybe Asian women are, insert whatever vile thought I have about Asian women. Just because I group more people in the wrong thing, going from Spanish to Asian to white to whatever, doesn't mean the basis of it is wrong. You're raping or violating someone's human rights. That's the reality. So gun control now, including more so-called races and ethnicities, does not change the origin of it, nor does it change the outcome of its intended purpose. And so we have to look at it from that way. It is literally created to stop Black people from having the means to exercise their human rights, because at that time, some people in America did not want to identify melanated beings as humans, because if they did identify Black people as humans, they will be within their rights to exercise all of the things as citizens of these United States of America and citizens of humanity. And so that's why gun control was racist, is racist, and the outcomes continue to impact Black and Brown communities more negatively in the sentencing and the denial of permits, so forth and so on.
Yeah, I do find that interesting that nowadays you see people talking about how, oh, the legal system treats everybody the same. But all you need to do is take a scroll through any news site to be able to see that that is just not true. Not even just in terms of race or ethnicity, just in terms of your background, in terms of class and privilege and all that sort of stuff. So that's obvious nonsense. And having been looking into a lot of American history recently myself, I have looked a little bit into the Dred Scott case, which is very interesting. But when you talk about the outcomes that it's negatively impacting, and you say that these inner city urban communities are the ones that are most negatively impacted by gun control. What examples are you referring to there?
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. Let's go with a license to carry. That is a state issued license from whatever state that you're a resident of. If I live in California, if I live in Orange County or Beverly Hills or some Burbank, some really affluent community. California was, and that's going to be overturned simply too, because the Supreme Court decision has been clear with the New York case. But before it was changed a month ago with the Supreme Court decision, if I lived in one of those fancy areas, my California was a may issue state, which means even if you fill out the background check, because you have to get a background check, got to give it fingerprints on all of that. Even if you do all of that, the state says we may issue you a license if you show just and reasonable cause, not just because I have a human right as stated in the supreme law of the land, but because we as the state of California feel like you need to tell us why you want to have the means to defend yourself. So in a state like that, that's supposed to be the rule for the entire state. If you live in an affluent space, which is predominantly white in California, the issuance rate of those licenses are somewhere like 80%, which means if you live there, you'll get it. If you live in Compton or South Central Los Angeles or Oakland or a predominantly Black community, you will not. The clearance or issuing rate is drastically lower, somewhere around like maybe 10%. So the areas that have more crime, that there's more people living there that need to have the means to defend themselves, the state there, and again, those places are predominantly Black, the state government there, even though it's the same state and it's supposed to be equally applied under those state rules, that issuing agency will still say no in these areas. That is a perfect example of it. Now, are they just saying, hey, we don't want to give them to Black and Brown people? Are they verbalizing that? No, but I don't care if you verbalize it or not. The outcome is the same. This group of people in this area, under a certain socioeconomic and melanated level, these people are not going to be issued so-called lawfully when it's not lawful because it's in violation of the Second Amendment, right? We're still going to make sure that this group of people do not get the license to lawfully carry. Then, if that person purchases a firearm and they, God forbid, have to defend themselves or get caught with a firearm and don't have that license, now we give them a gun charge. Now we have another disproportionate ripple effect of a group of people that wanted to carry a firearm to defend themselves. Your state government was in violation of the federal law, which is the Second Amendment, supreme law of the land. So now you want to charge them for a gun charge with no actual crime committed, when in reality, the state government is the one that actually is in violation of the supreme law of the land. But the outcome is more Black and brown people having gun possession charges, getting misdemeanor and felony charges. Now they got to pay into the system, so forth and so on. This is a purpose or an example in real time of the contradiction that is gun control. There should be no gun control laws at all. The reality is, if you take a firearm and do the wrong thing with it, unjustifiably harm someone, we want you to have a trial of your peers, and I want you to go to jail for your violation of that person's property or their body. That's not complicated. That's very simple. I think they try to pretend as if it's about safety to make people feel a little bit more comfortable, because we haven't been thoroughly educated on the civic process and our human right and what that means as it intertwines with the foundation or the founding documents of America.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I mean, over here in the UK, I mean, we're quite notoriously strict on gun regulations and gun controls. And I've actually looked into it before and seen just how one by one these arguments strip away these fundamental rights. Because at the end of the day, possession of a firearm or any sort of thing that you can use to defend yourself is a question of property rights, even more so than anything else, because it's my ability to be able to claim something as my own. And obviously that has kind of fostered in the UK this almost, I would say, snobby attitude from some that we're more civilized because you can walk down the street and not encounter anybody who has a gun. But then at the same time, we have ridiculous levels of knife violence, for instance, in London. So to those sorts of people who would say, oh, we're more civilized, if you let people own guns, then they'll just go out and shoot people in the streets, like, for instance, the July 4th shooting from last week. What would you say in response to those sorts of people?
Violence is violence. However someone chooses to do violence, you've got guys over there, you know, across the pond that have like literally driven a truck and mowed down 30 people. This has happened. I don't care if the guy has a truck, a bat, a golf club, a knife, a butter knife. It doesn't matter to me. Violence is violence. So when someone says we're more civilized, I think these are people that have never stabbed anybody or been stabbed. And that's very it's a very intimate feeling, and it's also very savage. So if your knife crimes are going up to the point where you guys, you know, not you personally, but over there, there's a saying like, we need more knife control. You guys have gotten to the point of saying we need more knife control. That means the violence is the issue. It's not the tool, because and take knives away, then it'll be, we need more golf club control, because then people will start using bats, you know what I'm saying, or batons or whatever there is. The issue is violence. The issue is people not understanding or having a thorough educational information based on human rights and property rights as an extension of the things that you want to do. I, with no tool, am going to violate unnecessarily someone's body or their property as a rule of thumb, as a standard, as a civic understanding of the human ability to protect their body and their rights. If I violate that, I run the risk of them violating me. If we educate people that way, and some people, you inherently know that maybe I shouldn't stab or shoot someone. You inherently know that. Now, if you do try to stab or shoot someone, they may stab and shoot you. You've accepted this as the reality. A rule or more rules does not stop the person that has made that decision to do that. It's something that Bruce Lee said, and I'm a huge fan of Bruce Lee. He said, you know, when a man has decided that he's going to bite your nose off and has committed to it, you're going to have a really, really hard time dealing with that person that's committed to biting your nose off. So if someone is committed to do something very violent, the only thing that you can do is have the means of stopping them. They've committed it. Japan, ex-prime minister over there, Abe, was just shot. Japan has extremely rigid gun control laws. Violence, evil, or even a person that thinks they're doing righteous acts in the name of whatever they're in the name of, it will find a way. It will. The only thing that you're doing by saying only the police should have these, right? And I don't know, over there, do the police carry firearms over there?
It depends on particular circumstances. Like a few years ago, I lived in Manchester. Do you know about the Manchester Arena bombing that went on back in 2017? Yeah, we normally, the police don't carry firearms or really weapons of any kind, but after that, we had some like special forces units in who were going around carrying assault weapons in the in the town centre. It's quite unusual to see, to be honest.
I think that that thought process that it's arrogant and it's unintelligent to think that having a firearm as a mean of personal protection is somehow makes you less civilized. That person isn't aware of world history. In world history, humans, certain sections of humans have been violent. I mean, if you believe in the Bible, like Cain didn't have a reason to murder Abel. He didn't. He was hating. And so he killed his brother. Like maybe Abel should have had like another rock and had the ability to defend himself. I would love to see how the movie plays out that way. But he didn't. So he got fucking murdered. Yeah. And so this thought process that somehow we as humans are above violence, that's foolish. That's foolish. Show me a time in world history, even because some of my friends that are into Kemetic knowledge and or what people call Kemet, what people call Egypt now, Egypt's a Greek word. But, you know, Akhenaten, who introduced monotheism, Ra, the sun god, he was allegedly murdered by like the priests. That's the father of Tutankhamun, right? He was murdered by, allegedly, the story goes, he was murdered by the priest because he was like, yo, we're not doing all of these gods. Ra, we're going to sun disk it out. And that was impacting the dollars of the priests and all of these other different things. So he was murdered and his son wound up becoming the youngest king ever. My point in saying that, if these stories are true, because then there's always questions, but the story as an example is violence is as old as time. The Big Bang Theory with the bang was violent. It wasn't like a slow moving thing. It's embedded. There is something in us that we utilize violence to our advantage. Now, I am a very, very dangerous person. I have my desire for violence and where I'm putting that violence under control. That's a good person. Okay, and that's a famous, like, Jordan
I was about to say, it's the Peterson quote. What is it? Good person is not somebody who's harmless. A good person is someone who's incredibly dangerous, but knows how to control it.
Under voluntary control. And so what these people are saying, in essence, is we think that our government is smarter than us. So we think there should be a monopoly of weapons in the hands of the state. That's all that means.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.